6:35, so we will begin the meeting. Those that can, please stand and recite the statement of scripture. We'll use the background.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice.
Thank you. Please be seated.
You are before. Bet you missed that, didn't you?
Maybe a little. All right. Finance officer, please take the roll.
Birch? Beach?
Yes.
Students?
Yes.
Mueller? Here.
Thanks. So we have three members present, one member absent, so we do have a quorum. We're now in session. Okay, our first order of business tonight. Fortunate to add a new employee, police officer to the city of Springfield. So, Garrett, if you'd like to come up, please. Garrett, please raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of South Dakota.
And the Constitution of the State of South Dakota.
And the Charter of the City of Springfield.
And the Charter of the City of Springfield.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge the duties of the office of police officer.
Discharge the duties of the office of police officer.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Scribed and sworn before me this 4th day of August 2025. Garrett. Well, thank you. Those who don't know, Garrett obviously is our new police officer. He started on Friday. I'll introduce him a little bit, and then he can speak for a little bit. Garrett comes to us originally from Nevada by way of Mount Marty and Mike Durfee State Prison, the corrections officer. So he applied a couple months ago. We did a very good background check, an excellent interview. Started on Friday. He got the treatment here at the noon meals and has survived so far and survived delivering meals with me, so he's done very good. He's already been, he's got a very good mentality and, looking forward to having him and Eddie as well and join our community. Yeah, but he started now. He's got obviously a week or two of some administrative things and get going and get him with some various agencies and certainly hope to see him, or you will see him out on the street, probably by the 13th of August so that we're out there with, beginning of school and keep going and then he'll get to the academy and later on here to sign. So, again, thank you for coming. You have anything to say?
I'm good. Glad to be here. Yeah, appreciate it. I like this town a lot.
So, from Nevada.
Reno, Nevada. Sir. Then I moved to California. I played baseball. I came to play baseball at Mount Marty. I worked in prison here for a year. Now I got my dream job.
Here it comes with an associate's in criminal justice.
Yes, sir.
As well as being a certified corrections officer. So, yeah, so looking forward to seeing you. It's been a while. So don't do everything in one day.
That's right.
But thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks for joining the team. I
appreciate it.
So the next item on here is we'll move on to the agenda for tonight. Please review, and if there's anything else on there.
Yes.
Who just joined, please? Carol, are you there?
Did you say Cheryl or Carol? Did you say Cheryl or Carol?
Both. Who else joined, please? 402-630-7325.
That's Carol Hagen, but I've been on the entire time.
Who is 402-885-0712, please?
Vance Branson.
Okay, thank you. Okay, again, we'll move into the agenda. Is there any action or items for approval or any additions, changes? The question that's presented is is the council prepared to do the first reading for the budget?
I'll say yes.
Okay, then that will remain. Any other items on there that we have?
The zoning ordinance, first reading.
That's a discussion. So that would be an amendment. So that is a discussion, not a first reading.
Okay. I had trouble hearing. So item E under new business zoning ordinance, that is discussion only?
Discussion only.
Okay.
Other than that, I'm going to make a motion that we approve the agenda. As amended, yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, so Steve made the motion to approve the agenda as amended. Is there a second? I'll check. Any further discussion on the agenda? Okay, again, the motion is to approve the agenda as amended and just discussed. Those in favor say aye.
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 And those opposed nay. One absent. So the agenda is now approved and we'll move forward. Next item is the approval of minutes for July 7th, 2025.
I make the motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Okay, so Cheryl's made the motion to approve the amendment. The minutes of the July 7, 2025 meeting is published. Steve has seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. One absent. So the minutes are approved. Next item are the claims.
There could be public comments.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are there any questions or anything on the claims, or is there a motion to action those?
I make a motion to approve the claims.
Second.
Okay, so Cheryl made the motion to approve the claims as written, seconded by Steve. Any further discussion or questions on the claims? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. So the claims are approved. Next item on the agenda is the finance officer report for July.
Approve.
So, sure. Okay. So, Larry's made the motion to approve the finance officer's report as written, seconded by Steve. Any further discussion or questions for the finance officer? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Absent. So the finance officer's report carries. The last item are donations. We have one donation, $200 to the library from the Eleanor Renner Memorial. Is there action on that donation, please?
I'll make a motion to approve the $200 donation to the library from the Eleanor Renner Memorial.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Steve made the motion to accept the donation for $200 from the Eleanor Renner Memorial as presented. Larry has seconded. Any further questions or comments? I certainly would like to have it in the Renner in the record that Eleanor Renner was the longtime finance officer for the city of Springfield that she recently passed. There's still a lot of Eleanor around. Any other discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. And one absent. So the donation is accepted. Next item is public comment. For any members of the public that would like to make a comment, you have three minutes for something not on the agenda. Please state your name and your residence for making a comment.
Why not?
What's the formal thing? Don't you get like past privilege or what?
My name is Stu. I'm an alcoholic. Oh, wrong me. My name is Stu Swerk. I live at 102 Pine in Springfield, resident of Springfield, South Dakota. The reason I'm here is to announce that in this building on the 20th of September, the Bonham County Republican Party will be holding the first ever for the county of Bonham, a what's called a Lincoln Day dinner, which is a dinner to honor the founder of the Republican Party, who happens to be Abraham Lincoln. I'm here to invite you all to participate if you wish. I will be handing out a flyer for you. Now, Republican Party thing, but quite frankly, I've been to 25 or so Lincoln Day dinners around the state and other counties. And there are Democrats and independents that go to these things, too, including elected officials. I went to the Brookings. One of the Brookings mayor was there, and I had a really nice conversation with the guy. He's a Democrat. So just because I wanted to give you two reasons why, if you're a Democrat or an independent, that you might want to consider going. One is you'll have a chance to hobnob with some of the people who are going to be here in attendance are Lincoln Day dinner keynote speakers, the lieutenant governor, and the master ceremonies is the attorney general, Marty Jacket. So, and there are a bunch of other people that we don't normally see here in Springfield that'll be here. That's the first reason. The second reason is, all right, let's face it, this is a Republican state. The likelihood of Democrats and or independents truly affecting this state is slim to none, but you have a chance to influence the Republicans who are in office right now, and you might want to do that, and you could certainly do that even if you're not a Republican. So, again, I would invite you to consider coming. I'll give you a flyer so that you'll know who to contact, namely me. My point of contact information is there. Thank you very much. Richard Keith, you're a Democrat. Please do consider coming.
This is Carol Hagan, 712 Lakeview Circle Drive.
And I would just like to make one comment without any prejudice towards the event that's being taken, but I do not believe that the Springfield City Council meeting is one in which politics should be discussed and talked about. Thank you.
Carol, she's the reason I'm no longer a councilman. See you later.
I'm sorry, I did not hear that comment.
This is Vance Branton. Can I make a comment?
Yep, go ahead, Vance.
Vance Branton, 702 11th Street, Springfield. I just want to say thank you to the city council and to the mayor for providing this venue to be able to listen in. For those of us who are burning candles on both ends of the stream, we can still hear what's going on with the city. So thank you.
Vance? Any other public comments? You're actually on the agenda.
I've never done this before, so you've given a bunch. Well, not literally.
Okay. All right. In that case, we will move on to official correspondence.
My road's looking really good.
Getting there.
It's looking good.
So I will not read the entirety of the letter, but this is from the Phil Crow Foundation. Kelly Hamaga, Evelyn Lang Library, Springfield, South Dakota, dated July 7th, 2025. I'd like to extend my congratulations to you and your library community for receiving the Children's Book Project Grant Award from the Phil Crow Foundation. Your library was selected by to be sponsored through the generous donation from Drs. Bill Strawbridge and Meg Walhagen of California. You received 64 books with a total retail value of $1,199.24. You also receive books purchased through the donor-sponsored programs. The first program provides an additional $400.48 worth of math and science books. These additional 20 books are provided by a generous donation from Mr. Hal Berenson and Mrs. Laura Ackerman of Colorado. A shared household, it says. And the second program provides an additional $303.71 in books related to health and wellness. These 17 books were provided by a generous donation from Drs. Bill Strawbridge and Meg Walhagen of California. So please do not hesitate to contact me if you have any questions or by email at philcrowfoundation@gmail.com. I look forward to reading about your celebrations. Signed, Karen Timmermans, Executive Director of the Foundation. Good for us and good for our library.
Excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would just like to add, I think we need to appreciate Kelly and her committee, the library committee, for all the hard work they've done for our library and reaching out to these foundations. It's very commendable, and I think we need to recognize that committee with Kelly's leadership.
Absolutely. It's very good to get these things to come in. Okay, we will move through the reports fairly quickly. On the utility department, of course, we'll talk about the water plant a little bit later, but there have been a couple of leaks in town that the guys have been working on. I know Arnie's phone call Saturday regarding one that Les took care of, the homeowner. As far as their computer systems, going into too much depth, but we did get the firewall from Secure South Dakota, so there's on schedule to be installed. And then they are receiving some of their furniture and lab equipment and shelving. Some of the furniture initially came was in a little rough shape, so it was returned. Say that with a caveat in that we didn't actually return it, but They didn't want it back, but they have new stuff coming so they can get set up. On the street side, along with the airport project that I've been working with, big thing in town, of course, is just down the street here. They have been removing the asphalt for the better part of about a block and a half to get ready for some groundwork for the water plant and get that block to 8th Street. And because the city did do the work, we do have all the asphalt. So in the future, we'll have a grinding outfit coming in to get ground, and we'll be able to use that for our own streets and alleys. Airport is its own. We'll go into that later. Kelly is here if you'd like to say anything else about the library.
I just put the stats together for story time this summer. Really very comparable to last year, actually. I thought it was kind of down. The last one we did really kind of put us over the top with doing yoga, kid yoga with Kenzie West. She did a great job, and I hope that she and I can do some more things for the library in the future. So I'll be finishing up ordering for the Stephanie Miller Davis grant, and yeah, that's about it.
And for anyone that visits, occasionally there's a new addition staff there. So.
That was last week. I don't know what the future holds.
But I can say the young gentleman gets plenty of attention.
He wasn't fond of the mayor.
Certainly enjoys the finance.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, fire department, I don't have a report. I did talk to Sam, and just so everybody knows, last Monday night when we did have severe storms in the area, Sam, an old fire chief, did come in, as well as a girl from the school, and they did both open up both of those emergency shelters. So we have learned a number of things. One, as we see stuff coming in, who to contact and how to get in. And the fire department is one of the emergency shelters. And, for future items, how to communicate that, how to do it. Clearly, out west, there were a number of tornadoes with that storm. So ultimately, Springfield got split. We turned out all right, but it could have certainly been a different way. So we appreciate Sam coming in to do that. And he actually came in on Tuesday night as well when there were some other spirit things. So take that and we'll learn from it and how to get the word out. The ambulance, you can see 11 calls in July. There was a pretty good string of them just within the last week. Puts us at 74 year to date. If they keep this up or if the community keeps this up, certainly going to surpass last year. So keep those folks in mind that ambulance does not stop very long. There are some repairs that were going on to the door and vehicle. They do have a new driver. Got box certified, which is good for the department that helps out with that. So they're continuing to work recruitment. So they really do. It cannot be understated just how fortunate we have because they are going well. On the police side, of course, I think you saw the big news. Officer D'Amico Garrett is now a member of the city. So, again, we worked on a training plan here internally in the city and the sheriff's office and some things he needs to do and get certified before we can get too far down the road. But, again, hope to see him on the street, certainly out there covering for the first day of school. 4th of July coverage, we did have a couple sheriff's deputies were here outside of their normal work hours, so they provided coverage for that weekend, a couple days there. And, of course, big things that are going on right now that I've seen and a lot of complaints are golf carts and kids. Way too many underage kids and probably way too many unlicensed carts. Remember, you have to have any driver's license, South Dakota, or some state's driver's license to operate a city street. So, of them definitely do not. Going on to the park side, our side of the trail did get surfaced, along with the game fish and parks that we should seal, help preserve it and keep it going. There's a few other things that I would like to get done, but that's what we want to preserve it. And we did utilize the game fish and parks contract. The pool items there, of course, with school starting the last day, the last full day of the pool is the 13th of August. We are fortunate again to have enough lifeguards to cover the next 2 weekends from 1 to 5 so we can, season can get extended a little bit before pool closure. I was asked the other day, you haven't heard this here yet, but one of the lifeguards decided to forego any sets of chain of command. So she asked me if they could paint the door, and I said yes. I've already seen some paint on one of the doors. They're going to do a frog and flag and fireworks. So absolutely good for them to kind of step up. I believe Nevia Myers is the head paint. Adds a little character. Not all the lifeguards were thrilled about painting, but
I know who is it.
But it does look very nice.
Yes.
As far as finance office, you will see in your, I got some homework again for you. I gave you a handout going over the House Bill 1134, the elections, and just a little bit more information for you to look over and what's going out and about as far as what that potentially looks like. We go in even numbered years, then, well, actually, we have to decide either way if we want to go with June with the primary or with the general election date. So deciding how that looks going forward. So like I said, a little bit of information, a little bit of what's been tossed around back and forth and what that would look like. So just something to consider at this point. We had our project boundary fence assessment, and then we also, which turned out very well, we've got two trees who's our computer people or business that helps us out with that. They're actually going to do the fixes that were required or requested for getting better, basically. We got the firewall installed the 20th, I think, of June, so that is up and going. That was secured through Secure South Dakota, so that was all paid for. And then just working, we've already talked a little bit about budget, but also kind of looking ahead for supplemental budget, which will probably come out September or October. That's all.
Just say the firewall, I'm not going to go into details because it's a security item. But by doing it through Secure South Dakota, that's about a $1,500 or $1,600 project to get that in that we got for free by taking the lead on our cybersecurity. For myself, been around, the elected official training was in here this last week or last month. They have stretched it out now to a day and a half. So primarily going over some of the new laws. We're going to talk a little bit about the open meeting laws and some of the changes from the legislature. Big thing that was put out is normally you register and go there, you get this very handy municipal cheat book that comes with the $60, $70 registration free. They have moved to make that free and available online so that anyone can get to it now. So not to eliminate the need to go to these little conferences, but they lay it out very well on how to find out just about anything you need to know within our government. And if you have a question, you can start there first. So, pretty good. And then the other thing that was on there, I guess I didn't throw on there real quick, was, of course, the last Project Prism reset meeting was in July at Sioux Falls. And I think I understand the outcome of that. The special session is now at the end of September. Mike Durfee, state principal, was on a number of the recommendations that ultimately didn't go through. Fortunately, the recommendation there was to, I will say, go cheap and build a dorm barracks type facility. They had placed it south of the armory for approximately 300 inmates, so it was not a very good location, not a very good facility, and it looks like that won't. That 300-bed facility will stay with wherever the primary men's prison goes. So, not to say that there's other things coming, but and then the other item here again with the game fishing parks, really probably two things here. One is the playground equipment is still outstanding, and they're still going to get it in sometime this summer. According to the Yankton office, so far our summer's been pretty good throughout the southeast region. We've been pretty good in spring. So, interested to ultimately see those numbers. All right, capital improvement projects, water treatment plant, pay application number 28 is $38,323. We're kind of at a low end here, so there's some work with Fimer, and then, as we come back in the next couple of months with the road work and some of those kind of items, we'll head back up as we start to kind of finish this off. So, is there action on pay application number 28?
I'll make a motion to approve the water treatment plant FEMA pay app number 28 for $38,323.00.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. So Steve's made the motion to approve water treatment plant pay application number 28, $38,323.00. Larry has seconded. Any other discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Change order number 20. Is on the table. Number 20 is a change to the west side of the building to address runoff from the building. Downspouts come down. Basically, pushed off. There's about four downspouts on the northwest side. Found out very quickly, especially without any grass or anything there, they do cause an erosion problem. So the funding is available to actually add a downspout system so that they can capture that water and get it drained off and away from the building so we don't have erosion problems. The cost of that is $15,475. So is there any questions or action on that change order?
I ended up saying maybe it, to me it's awful expensive for $15,000 plus. Why not end up having, do they already have the drainage systems already on there? Or
no, they just have the downspouts. This will be like a drain file that will get put in.
Well, why not end up using, say, like for your small tile? Or something to put on the end of your gutter and run it all the way on out.
That's what this will do. They'll take the downspouts that are existing there. They just come down to the bottom and they essentially end with the elbow. So this is going to add on to that. You go into a drain tile, go underneath, and then evacuate it out away from the building. So they've got to dig it in a little bit on that hillside and get it down. Down to the west side, so come back down past, get it down to the road and past the generator so that it drains out there. What's happening now is it's just draining off of the sides and it's eroding on the dirt.
Oh, okay.
So I think essentially what you just said, maybe a little more in depth with the tile, but get it underneath, so. And that's also to ensure that when the winter comes and they have ice and snow and melts, it doesn't just make an icy mess just right off of the river so it can get away from where they need to be. What can you do at the end of the drain to prevent erosion in that area?
The plan is to get it run over. So if they're actually doing all of the erosion work now in the drain area to the west, to get it to run over there so it runs right into that area that's
into another area that's already prepped.
Yeah, that stream that's coming down there from the road that they just put the concrete mat stuff in.
Yeah.
And that's where all the gravel or sand that they're bringing in and moving?
Yeah, all the riprap, that's where that's going in is that stream that comes down from the corner of 8th and Oak. And it goes down, and it's right now it's grass. You can see the grass from the road. Once it hits the tree line and it goes down, they put the concrete mat down there, and then they riprapped it all the way down. Before it didn't have anything, it just had some chunks of concrete and stuff in there. It was really, really ugly. Okay. That's where that riprap and everything is going. So.
Well, then I'll make the motion to approve change order number 20 for $15,475.00.
I'll second.
Okay, so Steve made the motion to approve change order number 20 for $15,475.00. Larry has seconded. Any further questions or discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. So, change order 20 has passed. We'll get that moving through the. I will say that these change orders, particularly like 20, the communication and everything's improved pretty good with rural development. So, things are moving much faster as we're coming to the end of the project. So with that, next one is change order number 21 for $10,500. I'll go a little, I don't want to go too much in depth on that. This is a discussion we've had before. The clear well that exists with the old building, once it was inspected, realized that we could maintain that if we so chose, but there was a little bit of dirt work that had been done. The current plan is to ensure that structural stability for that old clear well is there. That's a 200,000 gallon tank. So, SPN has provided us with some estimates. A ground storage tank of 200,000 gallons is about 800,000, and a 200,000 gallon water tower, which is what the prison did a few years ago, is a little over 2 million. So it's well worth looking at this tank to do it. We're not going to, you know, utilize it right away, but right now it's all about maintaining it and ensuring it doesn't degrade. The engineers inspection that came back by the specialty company said there's no reason why it doesn't have another 50 or 60 year lifespan. So at this point, it's relatively inexpensive for us to at least maintain it as we start looking for future uses for 200,000 gallons is a significant. But they do need to do some dirt work on the west side. When they were doing the road, they exposed a little bit of it. So that needs to get replaced. It's got to have that dirt. $10,500 job. Talking with rural development, they're seeing the numbers too, and the advantage of trying to maintain it for future use, just because those things are so expensive. So, and it gives us an potential opportunity into the future with the additional capacity we now have with this new facilities. Is there any action on that, or additional questions?
Make a motion to approve change order number 21 for $10,500.
I'll second it.
Okay, so Larry's made the motion, and Cheryl has seconded to approve WTP change order number 21 for $10,500. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. So now, as far as the actual update report for the water treatment plant facility, there's still a little bit of work inside. It's becoming a little more warranty, and it's between our primary contractor and a subcontractor regarding a pump. So they are working to probably get a third company in to do this. And that probably takes some money away from the prime contractor. There's a pump that just was not built very good, and there's a couple companies going back and forth on who's responsible for it, which is good for them, but we need pumps. This is the primary pump that's pulling river water up. Other than that, you can see all of the various dirt work outside. So they've put in the flushing valve, which fantastically enough, fire hydrant works really good for that, so there's now a fire hydrant over there. But its primary purpose is to evacuate water out of the water treatment plant after it has been purified, but before it goes into the city system. So if there's ever an issue, a test comes back bad, they have to do some kind of really short-term work, they can use that, and that's where the rebuilding of that block of 8th Street will come into play. They can open that valve, but doesn't use that fire hydrant, so that water that's been through the plant does not get into our system and can get evacuated in that way. The current facility has never had that. So, of course, you can see the street work. As I said, our guys did the tear-up last week, Thursday and Friday, so they're moving right along, weather permitting. Farmers going to get on it. They were doing the concrete mat, again, in that drainage area with all that riprap that's going in there. There's obviously still a lot of things to do around the facility as far as some concrete and seating, stuff like that. They can get there and can get into it and get it done this fall. That will hopefully kind of get that portion of the project wrapped up. Of course, the project continues with the demolition. The old one would probably go on until next spring. But Primer has already said they're ready to go on demolition the old pump house. So right now the guys have already got a couple of inquiries. There's a couple of very expensive pumps and things that were put in after the 19 flood. So they're worth some money. So we got to figure out how to get them out of there or how we're going to do it, get it surplus so that we can get those out so they can get that pump house done. I think anybody that's been around the corner can tell that some of the lime sludge got hauled away last week. I think you guys had a talk with that truck driver regarding how much he should actually put in his truck. But again, as that gets emptied and once that starts to go away, that will end the ability to use the old facility. So we're getting pretty close.
I know when I was down there mowing this afternoon that they had stuck another pump in it to help pump a lot more out of the ledge.
Yeah. So we are nearing that portion of it. So it's been a long process, but we're getting close.
You ever know they have a grand opening?
Well, if we can get it, once we get it signed for, we'll definitely do that. There have, and I will add, there's been a couple, well, it's, I suppose about a handful of folks that haven't come either through the finance office or got a hold of me that have had some different concerns about some of the water quality and stuff, and the guys will go out and then they will check across town. So it is a little different than it was before. So, but they are more than happy to go out, check, and show that there is sufficient amounts of things like chlorine and all that kind of stuff. And they have been out at some of the further reaches watching some hydrants to make sure that everything works well. So, but it is a little different. So. Hey, going up to the airport, I get into the update there, you can see that's the biggest check I've ever signed in my life. So, pay application number 6, $1,583,389.77 for July, and that bought a lot of asphalt, essentially what that check is for all of the paving and some of the other work. So. Is there action on that K application?
I'll make a motion to approve the airport. How do you pronounce it?
Dunick.
Thank you. Pay app number 6, $1,583,389.77.
I'll second. Okay, so Steve's made the motion to accept the Dunnick Pay App number 6 for $1,583,389.77. Larry has seconded. Any other questions or discussion on that? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. And that motion passes. Okay, next up is change order number 2. This is a zero cost. This change order is just to extend the ending date, 21 days. That was due to weather in June, and primarily in June, that needed to be added again. This is a time contract. So by adding 21 days, it changes substantial completion to August 11th, next week. Again, this is zero cost, so is there an action on that, please?
I'll make that motion. Nobody else will. Change order number 2 for $0.
Are you accepting?
Hmm?
Are you accepting that?
Yes, ma'am.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Larry's got it. So Steve's made the motion to accept change order number 2 for $0, and Larry has seconded. Any other questions or discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, nay. So that passes. Okay, so an update on the airport. All of the paving is done. A lot of the button up dirt work is done. It's been marked out for the striping and the lines. So right now, Dunnick is working with 2 contractors. Sounded like today they actually made a physical visit to one of their concrete subcontractors' office in Sioux Falls to get it moving. And the striping company will be here. So originally had a punch list meeting set up for Thursday. That's been pushed to next week just to get a little more time. Most of the punch list stuff is, again, site cleanup, things like that, that are beyond substantial. So I get the striping in and get it going. It's, the plan is still to have the airport open next week, so I'm just gonna start getting aircraft again. The Dunnick has again removed I think pretty much all of their heavy equipment, everything is gone there, so yeah, site cleanup and ready to go. It looks very good. It is extremely smooth. Yeah, and do what they did. I certainly think they did a very good job, and that drain tile and the drainage system they put in. The other day, I had 2.5 inches rain on my gauge, and that everything worked out quite well. So it's very good. And I have had a couple of questions from the ambulance department. The air ambulance services are already asking, are ready for it to open, and they need to make transport. There will be tie downs in the new asphalt for a twin. So if they fly in and some other something and they need to tie down their aircraft, they could previously. But the lights, signage, I think everything's good. So we need to get some usage. Somebody to build a hangar and some airplanes. Okay. Abandoned property.
No real updates for the public.
Again, the Ritchie property is going up for tax deed on the 19th of August, and as is the Preston Ridge property, which is not.
Okay.
Morgan Barn includes the old gas building. Okay. New business. I will state what I don't know what's going on, but you're part of.
But we don't even know. We're huge problem. Yeah.
You are very.
I'm Joanne Tucker-Mitten. I've been on the Summer Youth Program Board. And as you know, they renamed our team the Pointers because they play at the College Memorial Park. So we thought it would be kind of cool to name, get a sign that says Home of the Pointers, since that's what our college was. And in a conversation, not even in Springfield, we were talking about it, and somebody anonymously donated the money to pay for the sign. And so Deb, working at the prison, Michael Durfee State Prison, the inmates made this gorgeous sign. The only thing is it weighs like 500 pounds because it's made out of steel. And we have to get it approved if you will let us put it up at the park, and then we'll start hounding the guys to find a place to put it. Because it's going to take some support, and it has to be high enough that somebody hits their head on it or a corner on it or whatever. But it's gorgeous, and if anybody had been at a pancake feed, it was on display there. But we just would like approval that we may bring it out there. And it's, oh, you do have it on there already. Oh, you're so cute. There it is. That's what it looks like. It's about 4x5. Sam can all but maybe on the concession stand, but I'm not sure if there's a spot big enough on the concession stand to put it that's even safe.
It took
Travis Burns and Sam Canal all they could do to carry it up to the top of the fire hall. So anyway, so all we need is approval and then we'll start hounding. Don't forget to keep hounding.
Nope, certainly I think it's a good looking sign if you've seen it. Yeah, it is heavy. Yeah, that's gonna last for a long time. So find a good location that's visible, but it's good thing. So the council does need obviously to authorize that on city property.
Well, I'll make a motion to go for it.
Is there a second?
One second.
Okay, so Steve's made the motion to authorize the Summer Youth Association to hang a sign along with the city. During that seconded, any other discussion or questions? It is, what you say about? Yep, go ahead, Cheryl.
One, I've seen the sign. I think it's awesome. I love it. The only thing is, and I don't know how much, like, Gary and Donnie, if there could be some discussion with them, too, since they're the ones that maintain the maintenance of the ball field, if they should be involved a little bit, too. I'm not saying completely, but maybe before it's completely put up that they kind of have an idea where it's going. Is that something within their realm of we should be looking at too?
Yeah, and they've already been involved a little bit, so they understand it. So they'll do all the proper evening ones and where everything is at, and need to make sure that it's put someplace. If it's hung, discussion's already been there about if it gets hung on a standalone sign, to make sure that it's out of the way for getting bleachers in and out of there on the fourth and those kinds of things. So it's way beyond just hanging on the fence.
Okay.
That's what we thought it was going to be. They blew us out of the park.
So they'll be involved, and it's, again, it's on city property, so it is.
Okay.
Except. Any other question or discussions? And none. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. All right. We'll continue to work and figure out how to get that up.
Thanks, ladies.
Next thing up is there are a few items of surplus to include some old ballpark lights.
Yep, the list should be in your packet for the ballpark lights. Green and white Ford F-250 pickup. You can see in here the one of the desks and the credenza would be surplus. One of them is going to the ambulance. There's also metal shelving, two desk chairs,
And there's a metal desk, a metal table, and some metal shelf that's over there, too. So that's like surplus.
If you're looking at the pile, not the bringer desks, those we just got, but the whiteboard, the old chairs that are over here in Dana's department getting some. And then, of course, also on there is the old street pickup, the 1997 F-50. The purchase price. In order to surplus, the best way that we've found so far within the city is to just put these on an online consignment type auction, because that eliminates us having to really do anything. So then any employee or anybody tied to the city can also get on it if they so. So some of these things for $0 will probably just be left out and put in. Anybody that wants it can get it. And, if not, then they will just go into dumpster. That point in time. So, items for surplus. Questions or comments on those items?
I have a comment on it. Okay, you get rid of this F2 Smith. And my biggest concern would be that, you know, the water, both water people have got vehicles. So the water department's got two vehicles. And the street department's only got one. Why can't they end it up, keep this F-250?
It costs us money. It's at its end of its life, and it needs to go away. And they got a new pickup. That's the purpose. They have an employee, a full-time employee, and they have a brand new vehicle. Along with all of the other vehicles that they are. This one is out anytime. It's at its end of its life. We have a new one that's far more capable of this one. We are still letting employees take those home, so it's time for it to go. So storing it and paying insurance and trying to pay fuel and fix it. It needs to break. So it's time to let it go and have it give it a new one. Any other questions on any of those items? For this process? Hearing none, then is there a motion to address these items?
Make a motion to.
Go ahead, Larry. Go ahead.
I'll make a motion to approve this list of items identified for surplus to be disposed of under preference policy, I guess we could say.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any other, any further discussion or questions on those items? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And so those will be moved on to the surplus list and disposed of accordingly. Okay, next up is a on-site liquor permit request for September 20th. Weekend day dinner. It's here, Bob Hope County Republicans. And that is the Springfield Pub.
I make a motion to approve the special event on-site alcohol sales permit for the Springfield Pub that's hosting the Lincoln Day Dinner.
The pub itself is hosting it. They're just providing. Probably. Okay. For a second?
I'll second that motion.
So, Steve was moved to approve the special event on-site alcohol sales permit as presented. Carol seconded. Any other comments or discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, now we're getting into a little bit more meaty stuff. 2024 audit. Move to authorize Stone and Fishing Company to do 2024 audit. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I will. We had gotten the commitment letter from Show and Fish to do or to complete our 2024 audit. And because we have over the 750, which will now be a million, but federal dollars, we get bumped up to another level for audit purposes. So because of that, it has jumped the cost. To complete this will be $20,000 for next, well, for 2024 audit. But we do need formal proof.
Amanda, I had trouble hearing you. We have to get bumped up because of what? A certain amount?
Yes, we have gotten or received over $750,000 worth of like federal dollars, and because of that, it bumps us into the next category where we need to have a more thorough audit, which also increases the price to $20,000.
So, but that's just for 2024 because if we don't get any more monies than that, then in 2025 we go back down to the other bracket.
Correct.
Okay.
The federal government, when you receive federal dollars over $750,000, you're required to do it on a little more extensive. We clearly blew $750K away in 2020. And then we'll have it in 2025 as well. So it'll be at least 2 years before 26 will be back under. Most likely we'll have that.
I make the motion that we approve Stonefish, the 2024 audit.
Second.
Okay, so Cheryl's made the motion to approve the authorization of Stonefish and Company to complete the 2024 audit presented. Steve seconded. Any additional comments or discussion questions? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
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 And those opposed, nay. Okay, and that passes. Okay, so the next item up is a discussion, and we'll go into between the attorney and get into this on zoning ordinance 622. This is the update zoning ordinance. Got quite a bit in there, so. This is where we need to go, folks. We've been talking about this or discussed this on a number of different occasions on things we needed to get changed. So, okay. Edited this and brought it back together, so.
Thank you. From the version that was presented at last month's meeting, I did get some comments. Thank you, Cheryl. I tried to incorporate some of those. Some of those would just need to be decisions of the council of whether or not to include things like the off-site accessory buildings and whether and how to include a conditional use for a chouse. I also made the decision to sort of consolidate things and trim them down to move what had previously been in Chapter 32 with the Board of Adjustment to just include that in the zoning ordinance since they're planning and zoning body, just to consolidate everything under the zoning ordinance amendment. Added some additional definitions. Particularly, Cheryl, regarding the question about lodging houses. For instance, an Airbnb would not necessarily be the same as a lodging house, which is more of a hotel, house. So I don't think that would be impacted by this zoning ordinance. But I suppose I would open at this point the question that you have that address specific provisions that were in.
We can throw them up.
Throw out your question, sure.
Absolutely. Okay. Number 153.002. Determination of the district boundaries. Number B. Boundaries indicated as following railroad lines shall be construed to be midway between the main tracks. Where do we have the railroad tracks?
That was already in the ordinance. That was not a change that was made. I don't know where your railroad tracks are, to be honest with you. And if
you in history, I know they ran through town, but I don't know what the history is where they ran.
From what I understand, is that they used to run down there by. Is that correct?
The Manual Creek.
Yeah, Manual Creek. Yeah, they used to be down there, and where Jake Peterson has that one barn used to be the old railroad station. And then it used to run down to Running Water. But I don't know if there's still railroad track down there or not.
Well, this would just be within the city limits, and this is just a holdout from years back, and should we ever get it again, something like that happen.
I doubt if the railroad will ever.
Probably not. But.
Okay. And here's.
Probably
not. Never. Here's another one. Application of District Regulations 153.003. It has to do with my concern was, if they're going to stick a building on there and everything. Shouldn't we make sure that the whole lot should have something besides cement? Because for the simple reason is that, say, like if you built close to mine and you have this building and all of the runoff water comes to me, I'm going to be a little upset.
Yeah, so to address that, I did define impervious surfaces as a new definition, and let's see if I
can. Ooh, it's about four pages further down. These aren't numbered, but it's. Yeah. 153.006, but it's. About the third page of those definitions in red and the other pervious surfaces at the top.
And then towards the bottom, the 153.225, there's a new section. It's titled Limitation on Impervious Surfaces. And that just that defines some limitations on how much of an impervious surface you can have, which includes roofs, which includes horizontal surfaces, pool decks, sidewalks, things of that nature. And it just lists there. I borrowed some language from some other towns that have these limitations to sort of set some numbers for what can have for a lot of between 5,000 and 6,000 square feet size, no more than 65% of the lot can be covered by an impervious surface, for instance.
Okay. Ready for the next one?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We do have, before you go into that one, there probably needs to be
226.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. It's done.
I think this one is underneath the 153.006, and it has to do, and I got a little bit of a smile or chuckle with this when it says family. If you go down, it says family, and then you got one, two, the third line, about the fifth and sixth word in there, domestic servants.
And that hasn't been touched. If you'd like to make an adjustment to that, we can certainly amend that language. That was in the existing ordinance. There was no amendment to that.
Would that include domestic servants and probably maybe a language that could be changed, but we probably do want to make sure things like a nanny or something like that. Defining live down the system or something like that. I don't know if any right now, but it could be
somebody could have some situation your live in caretaker or elderly and disabled fit into that category.
Back in. It looks to me like the way that it's set in here. There certainly is a bad connotation, but at the same time, it's also kind of defined as more of an employee because they're not. If that's a change in language and definition, specific definition for that, be better than current domestic. I guess even for that is, even the definition of family is starting to get a little out because it says blood or marriage and recently numbers that are not married can't know blood. So if whatever the updated term for that is,
I would look for it.
And then further down, is underneath the farmstead, number three, it says there shall be no change on the outside appearance of the buildings or premises or other visible evidence of the conduct of such home occupation other than one side, not exceeding 1 square foot in area, non-illuminated and mounted flat against the wall of the principal building. What kind of sign are they talking about? Like this is the barber shop or something like that, or
yeah, home-based business. It looks like. So if you go to number one there, it says no person other than members of the family residing on the premises shall be engaged in such occupation. Or it says, just put a home occupation as an occupation. conducted in a dwelling unit, not occupation as in living there, but occupation as in a job. So it would be like a home-based business. I would read number three then as to be, you want to advertise your home-based business, that's fine, but you could put a small sign out, but not a big marquee or anything like that.
Yeah, but 1 square foot, I mean, that's what.
This was also written a long time ago, you know, when people were frugal with their signage.
And so the to define home occupation, I suppose, is this would be something located in a residential district where everybody else on the block is just a house. There are certain permitted uses that don't change the nature and character of the neighborhood, such as a guy fixing lawnmowers in his garage. He doesn't have a ton of cars coming in every day changing traffic patterns. He doesn't have, you know, lawnmowers displayed, 50 lawnmowers brand new displayed in the front yard. This is, you know, this would be Joe's repair shop hanging on a sign above the garage.
Okay.
That is what that specifically would be for. So if a home occupation is something that is defined in here to include things that don't change the nature of the neighborhood, but would still be permissible. Somebody selling baked goods out of their house, for instance, or things like that. It's not a retail sales sort of thing. Right? Does that answer your question?
Yeah. 153.021, principal permitted uses. Number B.
021, sir?
Yes.
That is under agriculture.
Okay.
What's a truck garden?
I believe that, again, is something that wasn't necessarily touched. There's no amendment to that. Plant nurseries and truck gardens. Question. It's not defined. But because it's with plant nurseries, my guess is that it's along those same lines. It's
truck gardens on the West Coast where the family having an acre of tomatoes and they're selling their tomatoes off of a roadside stand. That was a truck garden.
Yep.
At that time. Now, whether they still use that terminology, I would not suspect.
That'd be almost like a farmer's market or?
Well, it would have been here.
Thanks to Google AI. A truck garden is also known as a truck farm, or gardens where vegetables are grown on a large scale, primarily for shipping to distant markets. The term truck in this context refers to the commercial aspect of selling produce, not the vehicle. So we're talking something beyond term truck and truck garden or truck farming is not related to the vehicle, but rather refers to the commercial activity of transporting and selling goods, particularly produce, as described in Merriam-Webster.
No, it reminded me of Elmer Jones. Oh, that's who I thought of.
Yeah, yeah. No, Sweet Corn. But I think this particular one, since it's inside the city limits, agriculture is probably. Between nurseries and truck gardens probably means like having some very large, you know, garden where you are growing the produce for resale.
You'd have to have one heck of a big garden.
Well,
maybe your backyard.
Playing bankers, but.
Yeah.
I don't know how extensive the agricultural zone is. There are that support that, but that would be a principal permitted use, just big garden.
It says Merriam-Webster just said the truck garden is the garden where vegetables are raised for market. I guess it applies.